Welcome to Maranatha Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Femi Fenoyo.
We have joined a series that I've been doing on Maranatha YouTube teaching channel titled The Bible. We have joined the series at the beginning of another season, which we have titled The Story of the Whole Bible.
The question we are asking ourselves is that, was Cain disadvantaged because he was a farmer? Did Abel have an undue advantage because he was a shepherd? And we started looking at that, and we are going to continue from that point today. But finally, we will then look at their sacrifice in light of revealed divine protocol. What is God's standard? What is God's protocol for acceptable sacrifice? The pattern that is laid down for us in the scripture. And that bit of it will actually be a summary, a bringing together of all the other things that we have learned in this process of looking at Cain, Abel, and their sacrifice. So let us look at their sacrifice based on what they brought. They brought the product of their profession. So let us look at the quality of what they brought. Is that okay? And let us see, can we find a reason, even just looking at it at the face value, can we find one of the reasons why Cain's sacrifice was rejected and one of the reasons why Abel's sacrifice was accepted? So let's read again Genesis chapter 4. We are only going to read verse 3 and the first part of verse 4. And in the presence of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And you will notice that I have emphasized two words there in verse 4, firstlings and the word fat. I believe it is quite revealing that the Bible took time out to qualify for us Abel's sacrifice. Now the question is, what does the firstlings of this flock mean? What does that mean? That could actually mean either of two things, and this is very, very important. It could mean the firstborn, okay? The firstborn of his flocks, the firstborns of his flocks. And you will remember that later on, in God dealing with the children of Israel, God will demand the firstborn. And if we read Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, let me read that for you. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. So God later on will actually institutionalize this in the pattern of sacrifice, that every firstling will belong unto the Lord. So that is the first meaning of the word firstling. But the firstling can also mean the choicest. The first of any kind and the best of any kind are often called the firstlings. So the firstling can be the firstborn, or it can be the choicest or the best of what you have. So this is the first thing, first quality that we see here of the sacrifice of Abel. That Abel brought the firstborn, or he brought the choicest or the best of his animals to God. Now, the second qualification that we see here is that Abel brought the fat thereof. What does that mean? Now, that word there, the fat thereof, in the original language of the Bible, it literally means the fatness of them. The fatness of them. In other words, Abel brought the fattest of the firstlings, not just the firstlings. He brought the fattest of the firstlings. In other words, Abel brought the best he had. Yes, he brought the best, but he brought the best. He brought the firstling. He brought the choices. But this is the best of the best. In other words, Abel put a lot of thought into the offering that he brought to God. He brought the firstling, number one. He brought the choices, the best of his animal. And finally, he brought the best of the best to sacrifice to God. In contrast, we have no such qualification for Cain's offering. There was not recorded for us in the scripture any qualification for Cain's offering. All we know is that Cain brought the fruit of the ground to God. So we can infer from this biblical record of event that we can infer at least that Abel put some thought into the offering he offered to God. That much we can conclude. That much we can extrapolate. That much we can infer from this biblical record. Abel brought the choices and the best of the best of the product of his hand to God. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground to offer unto the Lord. But the question is, were they the choices of the product that he had? Were they the best of the product of his ground? Were they the first fruit of the hand of his hand? Were they the first fruit of the product of his ground? Abel brought the firstlings of his flock, that is the firstborn. Abel brought the first fruit. But we don't have that record for Cain. Now, the truth is this, that if Cain has done exactly what Abel did, if Cain has put the same thought into the offering that he brought to God, if Cain has brought the first fruit of his ground, of his fruit of the ground, if Cain has brought the choices and the best of his fruit, the Bible will have given us that information for Cain, just like it did for Abel. But the Bible did not give testimony for Cain. Cain did not have this good testimony concerning his sacrifice. So, if we judge both offering purely based on the product of their profession, purely based on what they brought as an offering to God, it is clear that Abel passed with flying color and Cain failed spectacularly. We have looked at two scriptures, isn't it, that gave us commentary on this event. Now we have looked at face value, the product that they brought. But there is one more criteria that we are going to apply to assess their offering. And in applying this criteria, we are going to put it all together and look at their offering against divine acceptable standard of sacrifice, as we have seen in our previous teaching. But before we look at this last criteria in our assessment, we first need to look at how people have traditionally answered the question, why was Cain and his sacrifice rejected? Okay, what has been the traditional answer to this question? Now, oftentimes people have answered those questions in three broad ways. Number one, people have said, we don't know why God rejected Cain's sacrifice. The second group of answer is, it is because of the quality and maybe the quantity of Cain's sacrifice. And third way that people have answered this is to say, it is because of the type of sacrifice that Cain brought, contrast to the type of sacrifice that Abel brought. Now, there are grains of truth in each of these three answers, but as we have seen, the answer to the question is more robust than each of those answers. And in fact, it includes all the answers above. The answers is really more robust. Now, let's look at the first answer. People will say, we just don't know. Now, that is the least satisfying answer. It's the least satisfying answer. So, on the surface, when you are a casual reader of the Bible, on the surface, it looks like no reason was given for Cain's rejection if you read the Bible casually. But like we have seen, just a little bit of closer read of Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, by itself actually reveals some reason why Cain's sacrifice was rejected. And also, like we've seen, if you then allow other scripture to run commentary on this portion of the scripture, like again we have said, 1 John 3:12, Hebrews 11:4, they offer us more reason why Cain and his offering were rejected. And we have looked at all these in recent episode, and even we've touched on it today. So that answer, we just don't know, is the least sacrifice. Yes, casual reading, you may say, we just don't know. But when you took time, which is the way we should read the scripture, we will see that actually we do know, the Bible do tell us the reason why God rejected Cain's sacrifice and God accepted Abel's sacrifice. Now, number two answer is a lot more satisfying than number one answer. What's number two answer? Number two answer states that Cain was rejected because of the quality and maybe because of the quantity of his sacrifice. And we have seen a little bit of that today. We have seen that as we pay a closer look at Genesis chapter 4 verses 1 to 7, it definitely supports this answer that there was something wrong with the quality and the way in which Cain brought his sacrifice. The Bible, like we have seen earlier today, clearly qualifies Abel's sacrifice as being the firstlings, the choicest, the best of the best of the produce of his profession. And Cain's offering did not receive such commendation or testimony. We were not informed that the fruit that Cain brought was his first fruit. We were not informed that it was his best. And again, we have looked at that, and we have looked at that today. Now, the question is, does answer number one and answer number two, particularly answer number two, does that fully tell us everything that we need to know? Does that fully answer the query? Does that fully answer the question for us why Cain and his sacrifice were rejected? Should we look for more answers? And this is where answer number three comes in. Answer number one and two are helpful, but they do not fully answer our question. The Bible offers us one more answer. So the third answer is that Cain's rejection is also connected to the type of sacrifice he offered to God. And that is what I want to look at. That yes, the quality was not there, but what I'm going to argue in the next couple of minutes is that the type of sacrifice that Cain offered to God also disqualified his sacrifice. Now, this third answer will become clear as we apply our final criteria of assessment to the event of Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Now, this answer that Cain was rejected because of the type of sacrifice he brought to God. Now, it is not an answer you will see on the surface. In fact, if you don't dig deeper into the scripture, which is actually the way we should study the scripture, you and I will totally miss this point. And that is why we are going to apply this criteria to actually show that actually there was something wrong, not just with the quality, not just with the way that Cain sacrificed, there was something also wrong with the type of sacrifice that Cain brought. So what is this criteria again that we are going to apply? We are asking ourselves, what is God's standard and protocol of acceptable sacrifice? Was there a protocol of sacrifice that God has laid down with respect to how sacrifices should be made? And then if we establish that, we then ask ourselves, how well did Cain and Abel's sacrifice do when we examine them in the light of revealed divine protocol, in the light of revealed divine way of sacrifice? And our line of inquiry will lead us back to ground we have covered in past episodes about the concept of sacrifice in the Bible. Now, there is one foundational and basic principle that we must re-emphasize. The Bible says to us in Romans chapter 4, verse 15, it says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Other translation says that where there is no law, there is no violation of it either. One translation says, if there is no law, then there is nothing to disobey. If there is no law, then there is nothing to disobey. If there is no law, there is no rebellion either. What I'm establishing here by reading Romans chapter 4 verse 15 and laying this principle is that if there is no standard to judge offering by, if there's no standard to judge the offering of Cain and the offering of Abel, if there's no standard, and if those standards have not been communicated to Cain, have not been communicated to Abel, then it would be unjust of God to judge their offering one way or the other. So there must have been a standard. Cain and Abel must have been aware of this standard. The question then is, was there a standard of the type of offering that Cain and Abel should bring to God? And that is the one trillion question. Was there a standard of type of sacrifice that Cain and Abel should bring to God? Now, it's been argued by some that the type of sacrifice could not have been a factor in Cain's rejection, since God afterward requires sacrifice of the fruit of the ground in ceremonial law. And it is true that again, later on in ceremonial law, there are actually some offering that involve the fruit of the ground. And that is true, because when God gave Moses instruction for establishing and carrying out sacrificial system under the Levitical priesthood, he gave them five main type of sacrifice, and we have looked at it. I mean, not in detail, I'm just going to list them. So these are the five main sacrifices: the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. We have mentioned them, isn't it? But when you read Exodus chapter 20 and the following chapters, and you also read the Leviticus, remember Leviticus is the priest handbook. When you read those two portions of the scripture that actually introduce and help us to understand these five main type of sacrifice under the Levitical priesthood, it is clear that each kind of sacrifices were to be offered at specific times and for specific purposes, and there was standard and protocol of the five type of elements that were used in each one of these sacrifices. So, even though the grain offering and the peace offering are legitimate offering at the right time, but you cannot sacrifice grain offering and peace offering in place of burnt and sin offering. Neither can you use the element of grain and peace offering for burnt or sin offering. What I'm saying is that you cannot interchange this. Yes, there are different types of offering, and there are different times, different purposes, and there are different elements that were used in each of these specific time of offering, and you cannot interchange them. You cannot use one element for one offering for another offering. So the fact that fruits are legitimate elements in some type of sacrifices under the Levitical sacrifice system does not make them legitimate for this specific sacrifice that Cain and Abel brought to God not long after human sinned and rebelled against God, and God judged human. God drove them out of the garden, because that was the background. That was the background against which Cain and Abel are bringing their sacrifice. And the necessity and this type of sacrifice will then clearly instruct us what will be the element that will be used in this sacrifice. And we can compare this to the sacrifice that Noah brought. You remember the story of Noah. Now, the background of the story of Noah and the background of the story of Cain and Abel's offering are actually identical. In the case of Noah, we read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 7, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he has made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. You see, this was the background that eventually led to Noah's sacrifice. And it's commensurate, is identical to the background that informed Cain and Abel's sacrifice. So, God judged the world. God destroyed every living thing that was on the face of the world at the time of Noah. And only Noah and his family were saved. So, when Noah came out of the ark with his family, one of his first actions was to offer sacrifice to God. Remember, that is the background against which we read this sacrifice of Noah. So now let's read the type of sacrifice that Noah brought to God. And we are going to read Genesis chapter 8. And we are going to read Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 to 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done. Verse 22. While the earth remaineth, the seed time and the harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Praise the Lord. Okay, we can see here the background against which Noah sacrificed. And then we can see the element that Noah used to sacrifice. That element was commensurate to the type of sacrifice that Noah brought. Now, scholars have classify sacrifice in various ways. All the classes are interconnected. No, so they are not separate, but they are interconnected. But scholars have classified all these sacrifices in various ways. There is one classification that I really like. They said this type of classification classify sacrifice into two. He said, number one, offering that was done because covenant relationship has been disturbed and there is need to set it right. And this is very important. And this is actually the background against which Cain and Abel brought sacrifice and the background against which Noah also brought sacrifice. So the first classification is when offering is brought because covenant relationship has been disturbed and there is need to set it right. The second group is when offering is brought, which assumes that covenant relationship is undisturbed. And that is what one example of that is peace offering. So the lesson is that the element of the offering we offer to God does not depend on us. I will say that again. The element of the offering that we offer to God does not depend on us. It's not a matter of this is what I have to offer. No. Especially when we are talking about a situation where it's a sacrifice, where covenant has been broken, where there is a need to restore broken relationship. It is God that determines the type of sacrifice that will meet that need. It's not dependent on our convenience. It's not dependent on our profession. It's not dependent on our carnal sense of what is moral or politically or ideologically correct. It depends entirely on the standard and the protocol that God has laid, the standard and the protocol that God have, you know, approved to say this, we meet this need. There are standards. There are protocols for different type of sacrifice that we must follow in order for our offering to be accepted. Cain's offering could have been rejected if he brought a wrong element for the type of sacrifice for that specific event. And the same way, sinners today, we receive mercy, we receive forgiveness, we receive acceptance from God only and only through the correct element of sacrifice, which is through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's one more question we need to consider that feed into this discussion. And that question is, how did Cain and Abel, how did they know that Abel's sacrifice was accepted? And how did they know that Cain's sacrifice was rejected? Because they must have known. The structure of the narrative clearly suggests that Cain knew that his sacrifice was rejected. But how did he know? Okay, the record of events in Genesis did not tell us how Cain knows. But we are going to look at other scripture and see whether other scripture can help us answer that question. Are there biblical patterns that can help us answer this question? So we are going to look at that. But what we have established today is that Cain's offering was rejected, yes, because of the quality of his offering, but that looking at the background, looking at the foundation, the background that led to them bringing this sacrifice, that this was the same type of sacrifice that we see in burnt offerings, okay? This is the type of sacrifice that we see in burnt offering. This is the type of sacrifice that Noah brought. That when we look at the need and the reason why they brought this sacrifice, yes, we could say from the pattern that we see in the scripture that Cain's offering could have been rejected because of the type of element that he used in his sacrifice. Our sacrifice will be rejected if we don't come near to God, if we don't approach God according to the divine protocol and the divine guidelines that God has laid down, particularly when it comes down to offering in order to restore the broken relationship that has happened because of our sin and rebellion against God. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us are under the wrath of God. But there is one single sacrifice that will bring us, that will restore us back to God. And that is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And that is what every single burnt sacrifice was pointing onto, because those are shadows. But the reality is Christ. And if you are listening to me and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, your good work will not save you. Your human sacrifice, your way of trying to earn God's righteousness will not save you. This is the one sacrifice. This is one name by which you and I can be saved. So you can come to Him and ask Him to be your Lord. He will save you. He will save you. He will be your God. He will be your Lord. He will walk the rest of your life on this earth with you. And when this is all over, you will spend eternity with Him in the new heaven and the new earth. Do it today, because tomorrow may be too late. We sincerely invite you to check out our teachings on YouTube Maranatha Teaching Channel. They will bless you. Thank you.